Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you focus that marriage and it's only based on love, like when you you guys don't get along, you don't know how to handle your emotions. She doesn't know how to handle her emotions. Y'all finances, but like we love each other, and you're constantly fighting. Like it can make a toxic situation, but you still just love each other. You know, I know people who would never leave just because they love each other, but and they love and hate each other at the same time. What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, everybody's favorite bad guy. Let's go ahead and jump off to my two co-hosts, Buff and Rizzy. Fellas, what it do?
Just wondering why Rizzy didn't go on mute just then. What's going on, everybody? Make sure you subscribe. Three Brothers No Sense. We're on any podcast platform. Thank you to those that check us out on Inspire You On Air / Contentville as well. The only thing I got today is I always like to guess. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I always like to guess who's going to be the Time Person of the Year early in the year and just see. And so right now, I just want to announce my three early candidates.
Is Diddy one of them?
Diddy is one of them. Cat Williams and Fonnie Willis. Now, all three of them could disappear by the time we get to November. We may have forgotten all that. Believe it or not, it is possible to have forgotten all about what Diddy is going through, what Cat Williams did in his interview, what Fonnie Willis went through. But I picked these three because if she's able to get a successful conviction against 45, that'd be huge on top of what she's already been through this year. Cat Williams, to me, set the tone for the year. Like that interview, it just seems like it's the year. And, you know, I know some people saying it's being messy or whatever like that, but it's like everybody is getting something off their chest about somebody else and just airing stuff out. And it's a little bit prophetic in some of the things we've seen play out early in this year, including telling Diddy, you got to tell him no to some of the parties sometime. You got to be able to tell Diddy, no, I'm not partying with you. And then you see the allegations. It's like, it's another thing that Cat Williams, it's almost like, it's a funny saying, like The Simpsons did it. This year is like, Cat Williams said that.
Williams
said that too. You know what I mean? So, and then of course Diddy, like, you know, just it's you can't tell the story of not just hip hop, just music, without mentioning that man. And just to see, and he hasn't even been charged with anything yet. He hasn't been charged, but just what he's going through and the hit that his whole perception and reputation has taken, it's just been, I don't want to say amazing or remarkable. It's just been shocking. And like the whispers have always been out there, but just to see what he's going through right now, it's shocking. So I got that. And the only other thing I got, man, is you guys know I'm pretty much down the road from Baltimore. And earlier this week, I don't even want to say a bridge collapsed. A huge boat ran into a bridge. Mm-hmm. And it fell. There were workers on the bridge working on potholes. There are some of the crew members that fell off the boat. As of right now, it's recorded on Wednesday. There were 6 people missing. I believe they found 2 bodies so far. And hopefully they'll at least find the other 4 so those families can get them a proper burial. But it's sad all across the board. Just to, you know, we all know death can come at any unexpected time, but just to, you know, I'm sure those men, They went to work, probably had plans on what they were going to do when they got off, plans for this weekend coming up, and it's just snatched away like that. And also, man, I'm not going to be one of those people that try to act like an expert on engineering, because I've seen that trending. Everybody thinking they're an engineer on bridges. I will say this, though. I don't think a boat that size should even be trying to go under. Like, if you look at the spaces that that boat had to make it through, I'm like, even if the boat didn't get out of control, like,
it wasn't a,
you got to be paying attention to what you're doing. Like, I don't even
think. It wasn't at a drawbridge?
No.
Oh.
No. No.
I just assumed it was a drawbridge. Yeah, but I mean, that's why, like, ship captains get paid a damn good, they get paid money.
Mm.
Because it's you got to think cargo. There's money in cargo,
and yep, there was a ton of it on that ship.
Yep.
Yeah, there's money in cargo.
200,000 tons, I think, is what they said.
It looked like way. Season two of The Wire on there. If you remember season two of The Wire, it was about the docks. It was a whole bunch of those cargoes. What do you call them? Cargo
containers.
Containers. Yeah. On that ship, man.
Yeah.
But that's all I got. That's all I got, man. I just wanted to, saying thoughts and prayers just always feel so empty, but that is all I can offer right now. And I truly mean it. I can't imagine what the family of those victims are going
through. Yeah. I was one of those folks that posted. It's like, you know, the folks that talk about college as a scam out there arguing with engineers about bridges. It's like, bruh, just sit it out. Like, makes no sense. But
this ain't your calling.
Right. So, but you know, they're what are they? Foreign affairs experts, and they're Russian experts, and they know everything about Gaza and Palestine and everything else. So, you know, it's so easy to go to YouTube and look at for a couple of clips, and then all of a sudden you're an expert.
I mean, there was rumors of a cyber attack because the lights went out and, you know, the power outages. So
it's just some of everything. I mean, makes no sense. But questioning why the bridge didn't have this and didn't have that. And I was just like, look, stuff happens, man. I mean, you know, safety, people go out and they look and they inspect and they do what they can to make sure that these things don't happen. But accidents happen. So, but man, all I have is a couple things. One is Carly Russell. You guys may know her by her tall tale of the little baby on the side of the road and all of that. And she is not going to prison. So she got her sentence, and I think it was like $17,000 fine, and that's it. So not a huge fine, but reputation's kind of shot. But she's not going to jail. And some people are outraged about that. I'm not. I mean, it is what it is. It was a false report, a little bit of a goose chase. But other than that, I've seen much, much worse. And people get off for and not do anything, not even have a fine. So I'm fine with Carly Russell getting that. And we got a good laugh out of it. So worst case scenario, we got that. Some sad news in Birmingham. Birmingham Southern College is closing its doors. The state tried to do everything they could to pass a law. They actually passed a whole new funding source for colleges so Birmingham Southern could get a loan from the state, and the administrator of the grant program that the state put together just for Birmingham Southern decided that he wanted to deny Birmingham Southern's application. So Birmingham Southern couldn't get the loan from the state and had to shut their doors. The state tried to, like, the state Congress or legislature tried to figure out a way to fix it so that they could give it to somebody else and make somebody else the administrator of it. And it didn't pass in time. And so Birmingham Southern had to kind of make the decision to close their doors. Sad day. It's actually a really good school. I was surprised, but it was a private school that was really expensive to go to. And so I can see why in this kind of hyper-competitive age of college and everything and how expensive it already is, being a small private school like that, private liberal arts school, it's just hard to kind of keep doors open. So I get it, but RIP Birmingham Southern. I had some good times over there. But anyway, that, and I don't know if you guys know, we talked about SB129 a couple episodes ago. And so for the listeners out there, SB219 is Alabama's anti-DEI legislation. It did pass, and Governor Kay Ivey signed it into law last week. So already some schools have already cut their DEI programs and laid off those departments. So it's happening.
And so what does DEI stand for again?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. So all the...
That was so last year. It's now, it's didn't earn it, is what the new GOP is calling it.
Oh, wow. Is that what they're saying? Yeah. I don't know. But luckily, man, I think the Republican Party is starting to kind of see the outcomes of their draconian measures. So there was a special election. I can't remember what state for the state legislature, and they flipped a state house seat just based off of their, like, the rulings on in vitro fertilization. They're hitting them very hard on reproductive rights and things like that. So people are standing up, and I think it's a good talking point. Buff, you talked about a lot in politics. I think the Democrats have some meat to latch on to, and I think DEI is another one that can really help them out in these elections, because that the Republicans are passing these things for their diehard core base, but I think it's alienating a lot of independents based on that. And so, you know, it bodes well for Democrats going forward.
I need to find the quote. I don't even know if they're passing it for their diehard core. I think it's about control. I think some of these politicians, especially what they passed in Alabama, it's just literally about controlling women. And there's a quote that one of the politicians said that kind of really nearly directly says it, or at least alludes to it. I need to find that and I'll share it. But yeah, I used to think it was about, you know, the purity of not killing kids and, you know, all life deserves a chance. It's becoming more and more clear that it's about control. Period.
Yep. So that's all I got, man.
Do you think it's control, or you think it's establishing themselves on the far right? Like, is it more popular now to be on the far right now than ever before, and to have that feather in your hat that aligns you with that far right?
You kind of have
because
to
because I think it, a fear I, of I a lot of Republicans. Yeah, the fear of a lot of Republicans is to be now considered a rhino, right? Like, what are you doing to get your Trumper card? Like, what are you supporting? What do you show that you're willing to go against the grain and do what these, I don't know what to call them, but that's just my opinion. That's just a thought on it.
Are they under the impression that President Waldo wouldn't hesitate to get an abortion if he got someone pregnant?
I don't think they care. It's like cognitive dissonance, bro. I really think they just they don't care what he does personally, because he's putting all this stuff in place for what they want. So they don't care what he would do personally. I mean, it's the ends justify the means for them, I think. And to give a put a name to my little tale, it's actually here in Alabama, and it was a Democrat, Marilyn Lands. She flipped a house seat here in Alabama, a state house seat here in Alabama in the special election. So, I mean, here in Alabama, they're flipping seats based on that IVF ruling and everything. So it can happen.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I got to do some more research, because I know there's some was it the Texas Supreme Court where they were trying to outlaw the abortion pill now? And that is supposed to be going before the Supreme Court soon, and if that goes through, I mean, it's going to piss even more people off.
I believe it's made it to the. I think they've begun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's going through. Like, I think they're looking at it, and that's another thing that might potentially alienate the right. And they're trying to say because it's dangerous, And when you do the studies, I think it's 5 out of maybe 1,000 or 10,000 or something. It's something. No, it's not even that. I got to look at the death rate for that. I think it was like 0.00005% or something like that. I think when they did the study, it was like it's in line with like aspirin and freaking Tylenol death rates. You know, it's not, but yet and still, they're trying to make this moral high ground and keep people safe and all this stuff. So it's going to be very interesting. And more for me, it's more about continuing to see people vote against their own well-being. Like for any woman who still votes for this legislation that is, or this group that's trying to take away more and more of their rights, I don't get it. Like, at what point do you say, okay, maybe this doesn't affect me, but it's going in a direction where they seem like they're targeting a certain group of people. And where do they stop? You know, if they take, hey, they might take away birth control, right?
That's what I was thinking. If they take away that pill, they might as well take away birth control, contraception at that point.
Because, I mean, years ago, birth control was a moral no-no. Like, it was immoral to have birth control. Condoms and all this stuff, like, illegal. So, I don't know. But I don't want to keep ragging on the USA because it's a great country, right? And we're here all, I think we can all agree that we just want to make America great again, right? No?
We want to make America great.
There you go.
Okay, here. So you're not with Make America Great Again.
I mean, I'm with Make America Great Again if you tell me when America was great.
Okay.
Yeah, let's say greater.
Okay, maybe
make
you got
America
me there.
Greater.
How about this then? What about making America pray again? And you can by buying a $59.99 Bible that your former president is selling, the God Bless USA Bible for $59.99. Y'all ain't know?
He goes to the lowest.
Not even a Bible? Y'all, you guys just can't see. So you didn't buy the shoes, not buying a cologne, and y'all can't even buy a Bible?
I almost bought the shoes.
I think he came out with a cologne.
Oh, did he?
You bought the shoes, Ryzen?
No. I said I almost bought the shoes for a collector's item.
Well, but you can buy the Bible then, Ryzen.
No.
You can't say no to a Bible.
Yes, I can. I say no to a Bible all the time.
I don't know what you guys want to do. Well,
like when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to the house, I'd be like, no, all the time. Like, I slammed the door in their face. I'm rude.
So for all you guys that maybe you don't want to make America great again, but maybe you want to make America pray again, you can go get a $59.99 God Bless USA Bible endorsed by your former president, Commander in Chump, Donald J. Trump. And you can buy some stock, too, because, you know, that's a whole nother. Just one. Not a New York Chuck. Of his. The GJT.
He has stock?
He went public. One of his companies.
Truth Social. Yeah. Truth Social went public.
Yeah, but it's on NASDAQ, but not on the New York Stock Exchange. Is that what it is? Or he wants to deal with one and doesn't want to deal with the other because of the regulatory, and they're trying to control him. It's like, you know, it's the same governing body, same rules type thing. But, you know, he's beefing with the stock market. This guy. And you got to think, how many successful companies has he taken public? The last company he took public went bankrupt. Just throwing it out there. But hey, you guys just don't get it. Maybe he's not your speed.
He's a genius like Kanye.
I don't know. I just, man, maybe Trump's name will pop up in one of these Diddy parties. Maybe we'll be that lucky.
It won't change anything. He was big in the hip hop scene. I'm wondering why nobody is talking out against him except for 50. 50 Cent is going after him though. That's been hilarious. 50 Cent has been going after Diddy.
Who, Diddy?
Yeah.
I mean, but he was going after Diddy before this. Like, yeah. He's always felt like Diddy was a little fruity.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can say fruity, but...
Why not?
That's okay. What 50 say he is. Okay. You're gonna get us canceled, Buff.
Oh. Why? Yes, so... I don't think fruity is a...
Is that an acceptable term?
It's proper. Yeah, I don't think it's acceptable. I don't think it's acceptable.
I didn't get that memo. Another F word. Yes, I didn't get the fruity one.
All right. It's a whole other conversation. But let's go ahead and jump into it. Rise, you got a joke for us?
Which is also known as a bag of sticks, by the way.
What?
The other F word, that's the true definition of it, a bag of sticks.
Really? Did not know that. So, but let me find a joke about sticks now. I will be back.
Oh, wow. I didn't mean for you to do that. Wait a minute, where I missed it. Where is Sophie?
She's still in Florida. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's
vacationing.
She really is.
Did she get flued out?
No, they drove, so.
Log cabin is my answer.
Okay, this isn't about a stick, it's on a popsicle stick. What did Mr. and Mrs. Hamburger name their daughter?
Mrs. and Mr. Hamburger.
Uh-huh. Patty. It's not bad.
Put it this way, if you were to have done a comedy special, these last few weeks would be your special.
Yeah.
It'll be a comedy special.
Yeah. I think it was better than it was better than Monique's. No, too soon.
We're not gonna be for Monique. I didn't watch it. You know, I don't support any of her projects.
It wasn't.
You know, Monique, man.
It wasn't bad. Yeah.
I chuckled
a couple times.
She just annoys me. Her demeanor, her voice. She's just too much for me.
Is it because she's an outspoken black woman for it?
Nah, there's plenty of outspoken black women that I love. She's just not one of them. Like, she's never been funny. I never liked her when she used to like bash skinny people, and then she went to try to lose weight. Like, it's like, you're not, to me, she didn't seem happy about her weight. Like, she talked about it too much. Like, you skinny bitches and all this stuff. And next thing you know, like, she's trying to get on Weight Watchers and she's doing all this stuff. And maybe it was a health reason, but it's just, she was trying too hard. And she annoyed me in the Parkers. I didn't watch a lot of episodes, but when it was on, you know, it was one of those things where you just had nothing else to watch. It was just a black show. And I'm like, she just annoys me.
So I agree with everything except the she was never funny part. I think on Queens of Comedy, she was pretty good.
Just relax. Oh, you
I like some more. I like all, like.
They did. They collectively did okay.
Yeah. You know, I think most black female comics are outspoken. And I like from her generation.
Okay.
I mean, like, on stage. I just think Monique does a lot off stage. If you're talking about, like, outspoken, like, off stage. But I think they, like, for me, I'm going to say outspoken. I think they were all strong. Like, they seemed like they held their own. They weren't docile. You know, they just seemed like they were strong black women. I was like, okay, they were funny to me. Monique, not so much. Maybe I'll go back. No, I'm not. No. Give me a joke off of hers. Off her.
Oh no, that's way.
Was it lower your voice? Nope, that was some more.
Who was some more? Some more was the strong. She had the strongest set.
She's the Bernie Mac of the group.
Yeah,
she's funny. What's up? Who else was on there?
I'm such a effing lady. What's her name? Now I gotta look it up.
Zeta.
Adele Givens.
Okay, there's Adele Gibbons, and then what's the other one that they kind of they favor? I don't know.
Miss Laura was the Miss Laura was the one that brought him out. She was playing the
Miss Laura's intro. Funny to me too.
She was MC.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's funny to me. Cheryl Underwood's funny. Cheryl Underwood. No, I get Adele Gibbons and Cheryl Underwood confused sometimes.
Yeah, because when you said the Zeta, so yeah, because Cheryl's the Zeta, yeah. Not Adele.
I went to a Cheryl Underwood show in Memphis one time. We were in Memphis, and or maybe it was Adele Gibbons. I don't know. One of them used to mess with the bros. She went to Centennial and was talking about how she woke up every morning with, I think, a new pair of gold boots under her bed. And I'm like, woman.
I believe Lord.
So, yeah. So who's up first? Who's on first?
I guess I don't know if Rozzy even
got a question.
Yeah, I didn't get a question last time. So I guess I'll go first. I've got a carryover from last week that I can bring over. So Ferg, as we open, you were talking about how you're starting to get over all class and things like that. And it's a perfect segue into my question. I want to know, what old person things have you guys started noticing yourself starting to do?
Oh, well, you know, I already named mine. I read a physical newspaper. I read a physical newspaper, and I do the Sudoku puzzle, the Jumble puzzle, and the Scrabble in each paper.
You have time to do
at work or at home?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm at work for like 17 hours some days.
You just at work.
Yeah. Like I'm there a long time. So yeah. What else do I do? I don't know if this is old people, but watch a lot of news, because as a kid, that was the most boring thing in the world to me. But yeah, I watch a lot of news. Those are the only two I can think of right now. That and paying attention to what you eat, reading ingredients and how much sugar it got in it. my grandmama and stuff used to do that.
I haven't made it yet. Shit, I didn't even know that was the old folks thing, because shit, the way we grew up, I feel like the old people and I, from our old people, were so unhealthy. You know, maybe they started reading when they got sick, like when they had to watch the sugar.
Once they got sugar, they had to learn.
It wasn't, you know, like, let me just count my calories and stuff like that. I think ours is more, we're doing it beforehand, a lot of us, you know.
Is humming an old person thing? I don't remember doing that as a kid. I just catch myself.
How do you hum, Buff?
Just certain tune that comes to head, I may hum.
Give me an example, Buff.
Not doing that. but
you not
do it though.
You're not humming old Negro spirituals, are you?
Mm-hmm. No, not that. Not that. Yeah.
For me, he be
humming Master P. He's like,
You're not humming in the upper room or nothing like that, or Wade in the Water. You ain't breaking out in song and dance. So for me, I think it's I get annoyed easier, right? Like my patience is wearing thinner, especially for like nonsense and all that dumb shit these young people, the young folk be doing. You know, it's
that's definitely what it is, complaining about the younger generation. About the
No, because the thing about it is, and the reason is because I work with a lot of young kids, and I see like the potential greatness in so many of these kids, because a lot of them have so many more opportunities. And I'm like, dog, like what? I have some young guys that I am like, when I say super impressed with, like they're 16, 17. And you look at like, they got resumes, LinkedIn profiles, the internships. Like I got one kid, he interned in Japan last summer. He worked for a huge, CPA firm over the summer as well. Like one of the largest CPA firms. And he was like, KPMG, like this dude, like there's some dudes that are doing some great things going. And then you turn around like, dude, what did you just do? Like, why would you do that? Like, it's just, it's, you know.
But you don't think we were doing that exact same thing and doing those things and messing up and all that?
I was listening to him. I'm like, everything he said is what the older generation said about us.
Yeah.
The older generation said about them and on and on.
Well, I just, maybe it's just the opportunities. Cause like, I know I've seen a lot more second generation college students, second, third generation college students, people that come from like, they're not coming from the same financial background, the same limited exposure that we come from. And so a lot of times I feel like we didn't know any better. We didn't have anybody to like, this is all for me. A lot of things, I'm still learning a lot of stuff because there was nobody around to teach me. These kids have parents and people putting them in all kinds of just, here's opportunity. Hell, you're in a program that's all about opportunity and resources and you're still making dumb decisions. And so those are the things that I just like, man. You know, but I think I even said, like, I feel like this generation has the potential to be like one of the greatest generations ever. Like, I really do. Like, we talk about
how it goes. I mean, the next generation should be better than the generation before. It should be able to do better. I mean, it's that's history, right? It's because what, like we talked about with the rap, you know, we disagreed, but it was, we get to build on something that came before us, and then they get to build on that and everything. I think that's how it goes. So I agree. They have the opportunity, and we'll just see, do they take it or not?
Yeah. I mean, and it's certain, I agree with that. And I understand progression, but I think, for a lot of us, you know, when our parents said, I've been through everything you've been through, I don't know if your mom or dad ever said, like, these kids have so many new experiences that we can't just relate to. Like their exposure, you know, if my mom could relate to 70-80% of the stuff I went through, I'm like, as parents, it's maybe 40-50%. Like there is so many new opportunities coming around. Like even just, you know, my story with LaFleur going like scholarships and trying to get into FAM and stuff like that. It's, we post freaking, I don't know how many scholarships for these guys weekly. You know, how many did you apply for? You know, like we had to go search for scholarships. I have a committee that literally goes out and finds scholarships for these guys, puts it in their lap. You know, like, do it? You know,
I get it. But back to the question, I think ultimately it's like, you know, doing is exactly what we're talking about. It's like you're being the old person. It's like you're not taking advantage of stuff I'm giving you.
Right. I was listening to him even with the whole opportunity part. Like Pell Grants wasn't always a thing. That got passed in like 1965.
Right.
So like imagine what the generation before them said. You guys get Pell Grants now? Like you need to take advantage of that opportunity. Like there's always more opportunity. It's a cycle of criticism that the older generation says about the younger.
Okay. What was the other one? I had one more. You can go, Rise. I'm going to come back to mine. What was it?
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, I got a couple just simple ones. I definitely have become that get off my grass or get off my lawn guy.
There are a few Amazon delivery people that can be disrespectful. Like, yo,
man, what's wrong, bro? on top of being in the Army, like, you know, in the Army, you don't walk on Sergeant Major's grass. So, like, that's always ingrained in me anyway. Like, I will go around. I will not walk through the grass most times. And then it's just, like, where my house is, all the Walker kids have to come through, like we're right in front of my house, and if the gaggle's big enough, you know, they don't stay on the sidewalk, and so I'm like, get off my grass. I start getting trails and stuff like that. So definitely doing that. Kind of to what we were kind of messing with you about, Ferg, but I do poo-poo on like the new music and some of the vernacular, like Haley when she'd be talking about period and this, that, and the other, and like the way they talk, I definitely have gotten to that point where I'm like, I don't like it anymore. Like, I can't sound cool anymore because I just can't use the slang anymore. And so that one just, I can't.
I think that's kind of like a girl one anyway, period. Like, if you started saying period, I'd raise my eyebrow at you.
Well, even that, like, no cap. Or, like, you know, for guys and stuff, like, it still comes off weird. You'd be like, that's cap. Like, it's still the younger generation.
Because you sound like you're trying to sound young.
Yeah, and that's it. It's like, I can't get with it because of that.
Well, I just for the listeners, that's our saying. It came back around, but I remember cap being used in elementary. Yeah. Made a resurgence. That's our thing, though.
Yeah, but again, it's like, even if it's something we used, because it's new to them and it's kind of, it sounds cool to them now, I feel like I can't use it because it sounds like I'm trying to be them, right? And so I think that's one of the things where I'm feeling kind of old on that one. And the other thing I think is, as a dad, right, I think I'm being kind of hypersensitive to like Sophie's relationships and like, oh, who's that boy? And oh, y'all look cute together, or no, you know, I don't like him, that type of thing. And Sophie might be super oblivious to that. So I think I've gotten to that point where I really wasn't like that with Haley. I was, because we were so young, right? It was more of a friendly, like, talk about it. Like, I think I'm a little bit more protective of Sophie. Just because I'm older now. So I think there's that where I'm starting to kind of feel like the old parent instead of the cool young parent in the situation. So that one definitely kind of got me just feeling old.
Okay. Yeah. I think for me, I think it's more worrying about the future and finances now. Like, I'm super like focused on those things. I kind of remind myself some days, like of Julius from Everybody Hates Chris, we're like, that was $43.13 worth of bacon. You know, like, it's, I'm thinking about everything. I'll go on a week like, man, I had a fun weekend, but I spent about $150 at the restaurant. We put valet. You're like, I'm going to like, God dang, we spent $400 just, the night ain't even over. Like, you're going back through and you're like, man, I never thought did that as a kid, because now I'm thinking about, it's not even just the fact that I'm spending the money. Now I'm thinking about like everything that money could have paid off. Like,
the trade-off,
you know,
of it. Yeah, that's the thing. You're like, thinking about, you know, the trade-offs. Yep.
You know, got back from Orlando and I was like, we spent a pretty penny in Orlando. And I was like, man, that money, you know, this credit card just sitting here, that could have went to the credit card. We want to do this, you know. I want to start an investment account for this. And, you know, that could have went to a 529 plan. but I didn't do that when I was younger. It was always, and every time I do it, I think about the dad from Everybody Hates Chris. And he was just always just pinching his pennies and figuring out what else that money could have went to, that I really didn't care about as, you know, when I was younger, because when I was younger, we always had time, right? And now you don't have that time.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know. Talk about Diddy, right? More money, more problems. Big said it. And it really does come down to that. It's like, the more money you make, and as you get more, you start thinking about your view on what you can spend that money on expands, right? Because it's not like when we were younger, it's like, I got to pay my rent. I got to do this. And so the bare minimum is taken care of. And I got a little bit of extra disposable income to kind of, you know, I'll play around with it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get a couple drinks. I'm going to do that. But it wasn't like, I really can take this money and go do this other big, important thing. Cause you really didn't think about it. Cause it felt too big, I think. And as you get more money, it just ends up being where now you're like, I really could take this money and do something big and help the family, do a 529 plan, start thinking about my kids' college and paying for that and stuff. Where you weren't going to do that. Yeah, hell, you probably didn't even have kids to worry about that type of stuff. So I think it's that. And like Buff talked about last week with the retirement and all of that, like just thinking about all those different things that you have to think about as you get older, man. It's, I see why people start acting old as they get those responsibilities. You just kind of have to, I mean, ultimately, that's what it comes down to. So that was just a fun question I wanted to kind of throw out there to you guys and see what you guys have been doing to be old.
Well, good question. If you don't mind, Buff, I think my question is potentially a good segue, or his question kind of sets my question up. And I don't know if you guys believe this, but it's a post from one of our listeners, Janelle Cockrell, FAMU grad. And it says, if marriage is no longer the goal for most people, what do we think the family unit will look like 15 to 20 years from now? And so, you know, I'm pretty sure old people are saying, like, these young kids ain't getting married. They've been saying that for years, right? You know, we having premarital sex, even though everybody grandmama was getting pregnant, going to freaking Arkansas to have a baby and coming back 2 years later. Like, we've seen it all. But, you know, we hear so many conversations where, you know, people are happy being single. And it's not just a woman thing. It's men, you know, more men aren't considering marriage, you know, especially as they get older. And they're like, you know, the trade-off, is it really worth it? And more women are happy and they're in, you know, in their independence and there's, you know, being single. You know, I think we can all agree we've heard that narrative. We're hearing that narrative more, right? Mm-hmm. So marriage is not necessarily the goal, or at least that's what people are saying. Because I know, Byron, you have your thoughts on that. At least that's what people are saying. What do you think the trade-off is going to be? Do you think 15, 20 years from now, the family units are going to look different?
I can go first because you want to go first, Buff? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Because I responded to that post, and my response was pretty simple. I said it'll be happily co-parenting parents that aren't together is what it'll look like. I think too often, Buff said it best, right? Marriage is overrated. I really think too often we get into marriage based on society telling us we need to be in a marriage. That's what the family unit has to look like. And I really feel like we need to get past that and look at having kids and raising kids doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in the same household to do that. I 100% don't think that has to be the thing. I do, because we can have kids and co-parent, and especially if we're in the same city, you pick them up from school, I pick them up from school, somebody always is at the events and all of that, or we're both at the events and we're co-parenting and working on the kids the exact same, and the kids getting love from both of us, and us being in the same household, butting heads, arguing all the time, I don't think that matters. I don't think that's the best thing for it. Is it helpful? It definitely is helpful having a second person in the house, right? But I could see where if I had, say, Jen was alive and we were separated, but she lived down the street, I think the kids would be just as happy, right? Like, you're over there. If you need me to get them, I can get them. I can pick them up from school. We can talk about it. We can have that conversation as long as we weren't forced to have this bad relationship because we had to be together because society told us we had to be together. I don't think that marriage is the goal anymore, because there's not a lot of upside to being married other than the having the emotional ties to it, right? Like that, and you can get that part without marriage nowadays. So if a woman has her own, she's independent, she has her own house, her own car, she's going to work, yada, yada, yada. The guy's the same, he has his own spot, yada, yada, yada. And they end up having a kid together. Then if they want to stay like that, I think that's totally fine for them to do. Does it make sense for them to come together? If they want to be together, they can, but I don't think it has to be a marriage thing. It might be that they cohabitate and never get married. So again, I don't know if we have to separate marriage from the actual relationship there. And I think that's what people are, Janelle is saying, is that it the idea of having to be married, legally married, isn't the goal anymore. That's not a big deal to people anymore.
So you think it'll turn into like just people living together and co-parenting, but they're a couple, but they just aren't going to make it an official marriage?
Can be, or it could be like we have today, split homes, right? Where, hey, me and you, me and her have a kid together, but I got a lady that live in my house and she has a man that lives in her house and we have a kid together. And we co-parent. Now that kid has four parents, right? At that point. So again, I think it's all of that. It's just the paper isn't there and nobody cares about it anymore.
So marriage is overrated, but I do think it has more advantages than Razio believes it does. I think having someone that you love and live with beyond the affection and the emotion of having somebody there, just someone that makes you stay on your shit, hold you accountable for yourself, gives you advice and things like that. Like dating, like you could say, oh, I could just call that person, but it's different when you're with that person in the house every day, knowing their tendencies, knowing, you know, the most minute things about them to where, you know, hey, you need to go get that looked at. You've been to the doctor for that, like little things like that. Like I think statistics show that especially for men, they live, I think I could be wrong. I think married men live longer than single men. I could be wrong on that, but I think it does have its advantages. And I hear what Rozzy's saying and I can see why marriage isn't that attractive, because there aren't many things with the statistics that marriage has where nearly 4 out of every 10 now is, and actually it's gotten better. The divorce rate has gotten better. It's dropped from the peak of the 50%. It's somewhere around like the mid 30s to 39%. So almost about 4 out of every 10 marriages are ending in divorce. That's still not great. And so that makes it not that attractive. And we've talked about this many times with women being able to make the money that they are able to make and own the things they're able to do. You know, they can own, they can buy a house, they can, you know, they can be CEOs and things like that. They don't necessarily need a man. And so it's definitely made it less attractive for some of them. And then you got men that are saying like the whole, what does she bring it to the table thing? I think it's become less attractive, but I think we are missing the advantages that it have. And I think what you spoke on, Rozzy, that's going to be hard to do, because when you're involved with somebody and you have a kid with them, we can't negate feelings. Feelings occur. And so I don't know if it's going to be the norm for guys to be with a woman and get her pregnant and then be okay with her eventually seeing. Like, I think jealousy and all that stuff comes into play. And it, at the end of the day, it's going to be, I guess, advantageous for them to try to be together if they can. I don't know if it'll go the way
I'm not saying that's automatically. I'm just saying that it's all of those dynamics. It's all in any of those dynamics, right? It could be that we are married. It could be that we are cohabitating and not married and we're still together in a relationship. It could be that we're separated because we weren't too good together, but we still love our kid together. And so that's what I mean. It's all of that. It's like that one piece of paper to say we're married. And I agree, all those benefits you talked about being married, but does the marriage do that? Or is it that we really love each other? We have the emotional bond together. We do live together. We cohabitate. So we learn each other's, you know, most small, minute details type thing. Does the marriage make that any better, other than it's just saying it makes you second guess, like, yeah, I really can't leave because it's a little bit more complicated, you know? And so other than that,
and if the relationship isn't toxic, it's definitely an advantage to have two incomes in one household than just one. Like Ferg ended the last segment talking about money. And as we look at how income isn't keeping up with inflation. Well, actually, Biden, shout out to Biden. He's kind of changed that. Income is catching up with inflation, but in general, the cost of living continues to rise, and it does make things easier to have those two incomes.
Yeah. I'm glad you clarified a little bit, Ryzen, because I wasn't feeling your answer at all. because you know, like you almost made it like, why would people get married? That's why I was taking it, because there's nothing different from the scenarios you're talking about that should be happening today. Then, you know, I think 30% mm-hmm. of the population don't get married, but you have so many people who still have kids. Like, what's going to make them like better co-parents, or, you know, in 2039, 2044 than we have now? We have a lot of people who have kids out of wedlock, and that's, I'm not judging them, but it's still a horrible relationship. We had like people, the only people that are going to have kids are people who are, that work well together. You have people who have guys that have four or five baby mamas, you know, there's that scenario. There's no, you know, there's women who have four or five baby daddies. And so in your scenario, you know, she has a baby by Chris, John, like, but now, yeah. You know, like, what does that look like? You know, when it's like, hey, and there's nothing wrong with the live your life how it is, but I think when marriage becomes more taboo, when we're like, oh, marriage is full of shit, you know, it's, marriage is tough. I think we got to, you know, people have to marry the right people for the right reasons and understand what marriage is. And I'm not saying I know I have the answer to that, but I think people might need to relook at what they're, you know, I won't say marriage is overrated. I'll say love is overrated, you know, just because you marry somebody just because you love them. That thing, you know, you got to have some similar values, similar goals, be aligned and all those things to what you were saying, Brian, like financially, how do we build, you know, how do we pay for today? But how important is building a legacy for your kids and your family? Because it's harder to do that in two separate households. For one, because now you're paying, and that's if you only have one kid each, mm-hmm. or one kid together. You know, best case scenario is y'all have one kid, never have another kid with anybody else, and now Rozzy and X can focus on that one kid together. But what happens when there's a second kid thrown in there? You know, or a third kid, you know, like,
and now I showed that up with income, some tennis shoes for my kid, and I ain't got it for the other kids
because that's real life. It was working. It was just you and her focusing on this one child.
Right.
But yeah. Now when you're focused on somebody else and she's focused on somebody else, and then she got to do a dude who's staying with her, and they have a kid together, and now, but they're staying together. Y'all don't cohabitate. They cohabitate. You're co-parent. They cohabitate. Now he doesn't treat your kid the same way, and your kids deal, you know, the odd man out, and like, hey, can you send us $50 so little Rozzy can go to Chuck E. Cheese with us? It's those things, yeah. You know. I mean, so
that's why I wanted to clarify that. I was literally only talking about the marriage, the folks that are stay married because that was the goal. That shouldn't.
Okay.
Like that is the group that I'm talking about. Those folks that are there and says, because that's what I look at when people say marriage.
That's not how I read the question though.
So. Well, that yeah. when I look at that though, it's like if I look at somebody that says that marriage is the goal, that's what I think of. It's like, I'm gonna get married and I'm not getting out of this marriage and we're stuck in it, and you know, we're gonna grind this out and ain't no such thing as divorce and that type of thing. I look at that when I hear marriage is the goal. Okay. Right.
And I we definitely have different reasons on why we say marriage is overrated, because I say marriage is overrated because anybody can do it. And yeah, I think when it's, if anybody can do it, then it's not that. I mean, you could be, unless you want a family, I think you can, there's a good chance you can make it through life without ever being married and being happy. I think you can be happy without marriage. Now, I cringe whenever y'all say love is overrated, because I think you cannot be happy. If you never experienced love in your life, you have not experienced happiness.
And so a couple of things. When I say love is overrated, I think what I mean by that, love is great. Love is beautiful. What I'm saying is, when you focus that marriage and it's only based on love, like when you, like you guys don't get along, you don't know how to handle your, you don't know how to handle your emotions, she doesn't know how to handle her emotions, y'all finances, but like, we love each other, and you're constantly fighting, like it can make a toxic situation, but you still just love each other. You know, I know people who would never leave just because they love each other, but and they love and hate each other at the same time. They're not good together. Like, they have more problems than
I don't think you can love and hate someone.
We can agree to disagree on that one. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother debate. But
you're just used to that person at that point. If you hate them, but you think you still love them, you're just used to that person. You don't love them.
Yeah.
I've never said love is overrated. Like, I that is one thing that I'm 100% on. It's like I feel like love is the thing that makes marriage brings it back down to where it makes sense. It's like, because you love that person, you're gonna marry them. I think marriage is overrated because, like you say, anybody can do it, and people go in for all these different reasons. And the ones that the marriage shouldn't change your relationship. And so that's really why I say marriage is overrated. The relationship is not. Okay. Like, that's the thing.
So which on that?
So the reason I go back, and I'm a stand by this, because I've said it before. The last two people I've dated, I probably could have married them. I love both of them, right? But we weren't a good fit together. But I love them. And I think a lot of people, I call it might as well get married. We love each other. We've been together. Hell, we got a kid together. Like, we might as well get married because we love each other.
Because marriage is the goal. Because that's what I mean.
Because we love each other.
those are the people that should get married. I don't think
that
makes
love overrated. That just means love can't be the only thing.
And that's why I keep saying, when you just focus a marriage just on love, we love each other, but there's so many red flags that saying, y'all niggas don't need to be together. Y'all are always arguing. Y'all always fight. Like, this is not going to...
I would never say water is overrated, because we need water, but you need more than water to live. So you can't only have water. That's your love. You need love, but that can't be the only thing. So therefore it can't be overrated, because without it, none of the other stuff you talk about, finances and this, that, none of that matters if you don't have the love.
Love is super important. But if love is the only thing you have, and you see all these other things that, if you say, why are you getting married? I love her. And you start breaking down, like, if you go to marriage counseling, because we were in marriage counseling, and it was almost a couple of, like, you can see them cringing, like, y'all might need to get, because all they can keep falling back on is love. You know, like, what do you believe when this comes to this? What do you believe when it comes, like, most of the things we were talking about never aligned. And they were fighting. We went to a couple group marriage counseling, and they're fighting in marriage counseling in the church. And it's kind of like, hey, you know, like, y'all love each other, I understand that, but respect, you know, like, having similar, being equally yoked when it comes, not in equally yoked, it's not finance, like, it's necessarily finance, it's like, when it comes to certain things, what do we believe in together? Do we believe in the same thing? You know, you're bringing a kid in out of a marriage, how does that work? You know, well, you can raise, you know, you can help pay for this kid, but you can't raise this kid. You can't reprimand my kid. Like, those are problems that people go into with marriage that end up can be a deal breaker 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I believe most people who get married go in loving each other. And there's a reason that 50%, almost 60% of marriages end in divorce, is because love was the main thing, or the main thing they went into. And when they pull back that love, and those days where you're not head over heels in love, or you really get to know that person, and all those red flags come to place, you're like, yeah, this should have probably never happened.
My final retort, though, is love is always one of the answers. Like, you keep saying the other things. Like, if that marriage counselor ever asked a couple why they're getting married, if they said, oh, well, he makes good money, and I think she'll be a great mother, and he has a great job, and he's funny, and love isn't mentioned, you're gonna look at them a little different.
I agree.
It's the cornerstone. Like, love is the cornerstone of the marriage.
It's in every set of answers. Therefore, it cannot be over.
So, and I agree. And I'm not saying love is not important. What I'm saying is, when you say I love him, and then you go back to the other questions that make marriages work, and how do what keeps people happy, and how do you deal with problem solving, and all those things. You know, do you want to have kids? Do you not want to have kids? When you start talking about those things, and they're not aligned, but you love them. You said every marriage, everybody's saying I love them. Like, that is the gimme. That is the free space on the bingo board.
Okay, I see what you're saying, Fern. It's like, it's people use it as the only thing. So they're overrating it, saying that, hey, love will get me through this. Instead of like, it's the baseline. It's the cornerstone. And I need other stuff on top of it. So that some people are overrating it because it's like, I can just lean on love and not have to worry about anything else.
Let's say, 90%, because some people just get mad. I don't know what's. But let's say, if that's a free space, everybody uses a free space. There's a reason everybody's not winning the game. The free space is there. Love is there. You know, everybody that, if you ask everybody that got divorced, did you love them? Yeah. Then you ask, start asking other things. Well, how did you guys handle this? How did you handle this? Those are the things that end marriages. It's kind of like, or they fall, you fall out of love, you know, but it's I married her because I loved her. I married him because I loved him. Everybody says that. We get a divorce. Did you love him? Yeah. Why did it not work? Here are all the reasons it didn't work. You know?
Okay. So maybe what we do is we put a caveat on it. Love is overrated in marriage.
And that's all I'm talking about is marriage.
No. Just simply say love is not the only thing that'll keep your marriage. It's not the only. Again, a water analogy. You cannot live without water, but it's not the only thing that you can live off of. You still have to have food. You still have to have the other things.
But if water is the only thing
but that you don't make it 2 weeks without this.
But if water was still, love is important. I'm not saying it's, I think you're trying to think, I'm not saying it's not important. Love might be 50% of the equation, right? It's 50% of the equation, but if you get 50% of the equation, the other, to have a, if you're saying I want to have a happy marriage, I want to get to a B, A,
so like, do you know what I mean? Overrated. Like,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like
you don't like the word I'm using. I'm saying
because you can't give a good, like, I can give a good example why marriage is overrated, because you don't need it to be happy. You can't have a successful marriage without love.
My thing is, what I'm saying is a successful.
So love that's what makes one overrated over the other one. Because one, without it, you can't succeed. The other, you can go through life never being married. We're seeing people doing it and still be happy. Marriage without love, you can't have a successful marriage.
If marriage is the only thing you base your if love is the only thing you base your marriage off, it's going to fail.
Okay, that doesn't make it overrated.
But so many people put that as the top thing. Like you said, it's a number one thing people put. So I'm like, it's a gimme. It's a free space. You're not going to get married if you think marriage, love is the only thing that's going to sustain that marriage. And you're overlooking everything else.
There's plenty of people that get married without love. He make good money. He's security. He'll be a good father. He's protected. He's protection.
You're the one that said that people get married. That's the thing that everybody puts on the list.
For successful marriages.
Love will not.
I said it'll be in every category for a successful marriage. I just literally said without it, you can't have a successful marriage. That's what I said, but you can have a happy life without marriage. Why marriage is overrated.
Going back to your water analogy, water will sustain you for 2 weeks, a month. But if you don't start getting the other things your body needs, you can't sustain it. What I'm saying is,
that's the same thing I said.
No, you went back and said you can't do it without water. I'm saying if you had water alone,
I said exactly what you just said.
People need water. I agree. Love. Yeah. People need love in marriage, in a successful marriage.
Yeah.
Okay.
We agree.
But if you think that, and there's a lot of people where they don't look at the other things that make a marriage successful, they go in, they disregard like the other things, thinking that love can sustain them. And that's not going to sustain you. Just like water, you need water. But if you only go into a diet drinking water, it will not sustain you. Yes, it's important, but it's overrated when you think I can live off of this alone. And I feel like people go in saying, hey, I love her and our love is going to get us through this. And there's so many other red flags. Like, did you eat? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you doing any other things that you need to sustain yourself? Nah, I got love. I got water. And right. so
Roger said he likes when I say we're talking in circles. I'll just say this. I don't think you can call something overrated that you need. I think something is overrated when you can do something without it. And that is our difference in opinion, because you can't have a successful marriage without love. You can be happy without marriage. That's why marriage is overrated. Love is not.
I've said my piece.
All right.
My stance has always been the same. Oh, so you went.
We out of town. We out of town.
That's good, because it's 9:20. All right, that's what's up. Let's go ahead and, because I don't see the time on my screen. That's the reason I don't.
Oh, okay.
Where did that go? My screen looked different now that I think about it.
Did you expand it during
the episode? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like once you expand it, I can't see it anymore.
Yeah, and I don't know how to unexpand it, or you know. So let's go ahead and close out.
Only thing I got, man, is Rizzy brought up Quiet on Set last week, and I watched it, and it just reminded me of how pretty much all professions will, there's just this, I don't know, it's almost like a need, or it's just so easy to want to protect similar people, other people in your profession. We see it with police officers. Whenever a police officer is in a controversial shooting, you see a lot of officers come out and try to protect them and say, we need to wait on all the facts and all that stuff. You look at Quiet on Set, and you look at what, I mean, I don't know if you can do a spoiler alert on documentaries, but one of the child actors was, now, ain't no sexual assault. He was raped. He was raped repeatedly by one of the writers or producers on one of the shows. It finally came out. And first off, he only did like 16 months in jail. But you look at these other Hollywood actors that wrote letters of support for him. And it's just like, it's just once again, no matter what the profession is, there will be people in that profession that will protect bad. I mean, you look at, we talked about Diddy. He hasn't been proven guilty or anything, but I don't think that's the person you want to rush to defend. And you got people like Luke, who's already throwing conspiracy theories out there saying, well, Diddy suing this billion-dollar liquor company, and that's why they're coming after him with this. And it's like, or it could be that he did it.
Right.
Yeah, just, you know. So there's that. And the other thing is, y'all know, I left this out in my answer too. Some of the old things we do, my war against social media. But Florida became the first state to ban social media for kids under 16. Like, no social media whatsoever. And 16 and 17 year olds have to get parental consent in order to get social media.
How do they
media.
Monitor that though? Like,
I have no, like, so are they expecting kids to be honest and say, yeah, I'm only 14.
Right.
Like, I don't know if it's like one of those liquor websites, you know, the liquor websites is like, how old are you? Like, are you at least 21? like, I just don't know anybody who goes to that website and say, no, I'm not 21. Darn. So I don't know how they're going to do it. But
I mean,
because if they get into the whole like ID thing, then that poses, because now you don't want the government like
tracking. I don't know.
I mean,
yeah.
It's because that's similar to what a popular website is doing, facing where. But I mean, it's the same concept where they're asking about underage people.
It is, though. It really is. Yeah, it
and
is.
One of the things when I was reading the story was like, they were asking adults to show, like, how do you do that? Do you have to show your ID? And people like, I'm not putting my ID out
there. Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's very interesting.
Yeah. So,
but I wonder.
And listen, there are dangers, especially to young people, with using a lot of social media. But it's just kind of funny for me, because we know Florida is a Republican led state. They're always talking about parental choices, and now you've taken this choice from parents. There are some parents that feel like their kids are mature enough to be on social media at 14 or 15. So they're just going against everything they stand for. I guess in the name of
this is a good conversation for next week.
The whole idea of small government has totally left the Republican Party. I mean, now they're like, you know what? We want big government. We want to be in all the decisions,
That's the dirty little secret. Neither side is for smaller government. They just want different things.
Yep. But they're doing it by state. So they're going to always fall back on state rights. That's their one. Like, if they did it on a national level, then the Republicans will get up in an uproar. But because it's a state and they're going to do it state by state by state. But I think it's going to be a very interesting question. Let's have that conversation next week.
All right, that's all I got.
Yep.
Rizzy, what you got?
Only thing I got is we had a huge crisis that got averted down in Florida. I've been texting with grandma, and Ollie snuck his Nintendo Switch into Disney World and left it in a restaurant in Disney World. And so she left and she had to go back and try to find it. But it's been averted. She actually got back and they turned it in lost and found with all the contents in the bag. And so he got his Nintendo Switch again. So some good Samaritan somewhere appreciate you that I don't have to go out and buy another Nintendo Switch. But, yeah, I appreciate that.
Were you going to buy him a new one or were you going to make him wait it out?
Grandma was going to buy him a new one. So I wasn't going to buy him a new one.
Yeah, I would have made him wait it out.
Yeah. And actually, the Switch 2 is coming out this Christmas, so he is waiting. His Switch is old. Like, one of the controllers doesn't even charge on the Switch anymore. It's a whole thing. He has to, like, pull it off the Switch so he can use the controller. But he's waiting to this holiday season, so that's his big thing that he said he's going to ask Santa for, is the Switch 2. So, no, I wouldn't have bought a new Switch. He would have just had to thug it out to this Christmas, more than likely, unless Grandma got him one. So I
lost my cell phone for a split second on a ride at SeaWorld or Legoland, one of those. I think SeaWorld. The last ride, I was getting out and I was getting ready to text my brother-in-law, and I'm like, "Where's my phone?" And I had walked off and everything, and I came back up to the gate, and I'm like, "The ride had already." We thought the ride had taken off, and when they looked on the roller coaster, they didn't see it. And so we waited for every car to come back around. And then I remember, like, I have my Apple Watch on, so I was able to ping it, and it wasn't close. You know, you can tell when it's in range or something like that. And they're like, "Well, sir, if you said it wasn't on that car, then it had to be the car before it. So we think we're past." They're like, "It's not on the car anymore." This was a water ride too. And because, like, it could have fell off. And it literally was the next car. I'm like, they're like, "Sir, it's not here." I'm like, "Nah, we're gonna wait for this last car because I think this was one." And it would end up being the car that was there when I was telling him I lost the phone. They just didn't see it. And when I pinged it, the person's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "Thank fuck God," because I had these phones ain't cheap.
No,
and I don't know. I don't know how what they do if you lose a phone. I don't know if the insurance covers losing phones.
They do. Actually, I think it's a different set. So it depends on what your insurance is. So Apple Care does, I think, for lost phones.
Okay.
So, and the only other thing I got, man, is the trailer for Bad Boys 4 dropped. And so a lot of people are excited about it. Some folks is like, "We didn't need it." All I will say is that they totally dropped the ball on the name. It's Bad Boys Ride or Die instead of Bad Boys 4 Life. But they named, I think, 3 Bad Boys for Life, F-O-R, so they didn't want to use it again. But that was just a really bad, like, they should have marketed a better. They should have thought that through. But either way, oh well. But we got Will. We got Martin Lawrence coming back. We even got the captain coming back, cursing posthumously. I think he's dead, and I can't tell if he's dead or just, like, locked up.
The trailer
somewhere.
Looked pretty good.
But trailer was good, though. Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if they had this in the works before the Will Gate. Like, he's been through a lot in the last couple of years. I don't know if this is his attempt to win his fan base back.
I think so. I don't think it has started shooting before Slapgate, I think is what they're calling it. But they hadn't started shooting yet. Yeah, so ultimately, like, this is the best way to get people back.
Because wasn't he supposed to be doing, what was the one he did by himself?
Apocalypse. He's doing I Am Legend, I Am Omega, the actual movie too, and they like parodied or whatever.
He did a slave movie after
and that was already filmed, like it came like a month or so so I Am Legend 2, which I don't know if people are gonna rush to see that, but I think people will go see Bad Boys.
Yeah, his core base isn't going anywhere. So,
all right. So, great show, fellas. As usual, we disagree on things, but I'm excited. I think next week, I'm trying to have some special. Try to have some special guests on to talk about the importance of local politics and getting involved in community. And so, hopefully, we can do that. But want to share with you guys that we're broke.
Who?
The city of Houston's broke.
Oh, because I'm not broke. I don't.
We're broke. You know, our mayor came on and basically just had this whole rant about us being broke. And
I'm sorry, bro. I just got the image of Rosie thinking about his bank account. Like, wait a minute. Nope. No, I'm not.
I got scared for a second. Like, what happened?
Donald J. Trump. But no, we'll talk. We're going, hopefully go in more detail about that next week. And I think it's a good example of making sure you get involved and knowledgeable what's going on in your local government when it comes to passing certain things and being aware of, you know, not just the mayoral race, you know, what propositions and what pay increases and taxes. And, you know, if you check yes every time, it's like, should we increase the pay for people who fold paper? Yes. You know, like at a certain point, if the revenue is not coming in through the city in other ways, you can find yourself in a horrible situation where you're on public television saying we're broke. So hopefully I can get the guests on because we are in an election year and I do want people to recognize the importance of the voting process and not just a presidential election. And we talked about this before, where your local politics probably affects you more than a lot of these state and federal things that we care and talk so much about. So with that being said, 30 brothers and no sense, my bad. Happy birthday, Sky. My baby turns, by the time you hear this show, she'll be 9 years old. She turns 9 this Friday. We're recording on Wednesday, so Sky will be 9. My little Sky Bear. Once again, 3 Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. 6 rules of podcast: listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.